Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's our New Year's Eve podcast. Last episode of the year, 2024, is a wrap. Huge year for me. Big year. Big year. Sam, how was your year? You had a big year, too. Didn't you move back to Kelowna this year?
I did. It was a year of changing seasons. Every year has seasons changing, but... Yeah.
Well, those seasons are getting less and less defined, if you ask me. barely have a winter. It's been above zero, basically. We haven't dipped below zero for longer than like a day this winter yet.
Yeah, it is warmer in Kelowna, that's for sure. But having been recently, I can say, coming from Ontario for the last 5 years,
yeah,
winter's still very much going strong in the cities of Ottawa and Toronto.
Suckas.
Yeah. Winter's still very much kicking.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what's going on. I feel like we used to have actual winters in this city and now we don't. So excuse any extra noise. I have a screaming baby in the next room and I have another cat trying to claw her way into this room. So,
oh my goodness,
let's just pretend that the zombies are at the door and this is the last broadcast I'm gonna have alive. So if you hear any background noise, that's what's happening. The zombies are at the door. 2024, 2025 is the end. It's the apocalypse. Would be a kind of a nice round number to have the apocalypse happen, to be
2024 honest.
But I don't want it to happen. I had a good year. Let me see a little recap here.
Whoa. All right.
Five weddings.
And a funeral. Oh.
A funeral?
Isn't that a movie? Five weddings and a funeral?
Well, I did have a memorial. I'll call it a memorial because it wasn't like at a... I had two memorials, actually. One was at a Jehovah's Witness temple, which I'd never been to before. So that was interesting. I will say there was one, my good friend Dion passed away. He had a memorial at the Scottish Heritage Center in Vancouver. And that was a real fun for a memorial. You know what I mean? Lots of food and drink, friends, people telling stories, singing songs. It was all like talking. There's pictures of Dion up everywhere, but talking about how they first met him and whatnot. And it was great. And then the Jehovah's Witness one was basically a sermon. They believe you just rise from the dead in the end times.
Okay, right.
So there's no real death, sort of. Anyways.
The corpse is literally a reanimate, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
All decayed and bones and stuff.
Five weddings, two memorials, two bachelor party trips.
Wow.
Some other trips in between, comedy related, I believe. Yeah, a couple. I went to Vancouver, went to Edmonton. I was busy this year. And my wife was pregnant the whole time, so she unfortunately had to be stone sober through all five weddings.
Torture.
Yes. So I believe by next year, any weddings that happen, I will be the DD and childcare person. Because she deserves to cut loose. Yeah.
Hey, that's good. Good for you.
Became a father. That probably is the biggest thing that's happened to me this year. Released my first comedy album this year. Wow. That's a pretty crazy year, actually.
You had an art baby and a real baby.
Yes. Yes. I am much more proud of one than the other. but that's the way she goes. To be clear, I'm more proud of my human baby than my comedy album.
Oh, okay.
I can barely listen to that thing at this point. not that it's bad. It's just, you know, once you step away from something and you look back, you can point out all the flaws in it. And, you know, there's no such thing as perfect execution out there. So I'm sure the audience was just having a good time. But I was picking out every time I watched that thing, I just pick out every flaw. It's called Salty. Watch it on YouTube or listen to it on Spotify if we have any listeners listening to this that have not checked it out yet. Tonight I have my final show of the year. So, and then we're going to enter 2025 as a new man.
Really? Well, in what sense are you a new man?
Well, going to bed, waking up. Work life is going to change a little bit. It's going to become a little bit more regimented schedule wise, which I think is good. My kid's he's going to get more and more. He's going to learn. I didn't even realize this when I had a kid, but babies can walk by the time they're one. So he's going to start walking next year. He's already trying to talk. Like, he keeps like making noises and looking at you as, and when you respond, he responds back with more noise. So he's like kind of figuring out what a conversation is.
Communication.
Yes. Communication. He's realized that there's more forms of communicating than just screaming your head off. Although that is probably his favorite one still. Sleep has gotten better though, so that's a huge thing. Is now we have him, he can sleep through the night. Anyways, wow. 2024, big year for, I mean, the election, my personal life was busy as hell. Mm-hmm. Crazy. So maybe 2025 I would like to tone things down a bit as far as like doing stuff outside of, like, it was just exhausting, but good. That's my recap, buddy.
Wow. Yeah, my recap. Way less stuff. Way less stuff happened. Way less. Two weddings, I think.
Two weddings. Nice.
Two weddings. Two weddings, new job, moved back to Kelowna.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Got a, yeah.
New
apartment. That's all I could say. Yeah. New condo. Yeah.
Hitting the comedy pretty hard though, I see.
All that Dave Kopp has to offer.
Yes.
I will take. Yeah.
Good. That's what you should be doing. That's what I'm hoping to get back into in 2025, is doing more just working out material spots. Right now I feel guilty leaving the house if I am not making money. So. Just because the kid's such a handful. So I mean, it's not like my wife has said, don't go do spots, but I just feel a little guilty leaving when he's such a handful right now. And then I'm just going out and trying to figure out how to get the next dick joke to work the way I like it. So my comedy has been basically, if it's not making me money, I'm not doing it, but still have that's been cool. Doing quite a bit. So that's good. Good stuff.
Hey, that's fair. That's you got your priorities straight.
Right. That's but good. I think now I'm hoping in the new year I can start going out and doing some more local spots and start getting a different act together.
Get your act together.
Get my act together.
Flipping.
Excited though. I'm going to start cooking more at home.
Oh, okay.
Got a new titanium frying pan for Christmas.
Why titanium?
Because it lasts a long time and it supposedly doesn't have any like of those forever chemicals on it. Like, it's not Teflon or anything. It's just straight titanium. Who knows?
You mean it lasts forever, but it doesn't have any forever chemicals on it? What?
Well, I'm assuming that titanium is not poisonous to me. I would hope so.
I don't think you could. I think if you cook off of titanium, there's going to be little bits of titanium coming off of it, but maybe
not. Is titanium bad to have little bits of it? I mean, you can have iron in your body.
You can have a little bit of titanium, I think. Yeah, I think that's fine.
All right.
Probably the amount that would come off in cooking, I think, would probably be okay.
It's a pretty legit frying pan for my eyes. It's definitely the highest quality one I own. You can use metal utensils on it. Doesn't scratch or anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing comes off of it. Maybe things just break when they hit it.
Yeah.
It's a titanium.
Well, so far, it has been very good with the non-stick stuff. Like, it comes out perfectly clean every time, with just a little bit of a wipe with a paper towel. My brain's broken, but and then also got a huge cutting board, the biggest cutting board I could find in the city. Big, thick. Whoa. You have to oil it with mineral oil. It's what massive. You will never run out of room with it. So between those two items, I'm like really stoked to start doing some more at home cooking.
Are you planning to butcher entire carcasses or something? Like, what do you need?
No, I just, one for? Of things that makes me hate cooking is when I run out of space, and this thing is just like, you would not run out of space. And, you know, cleaning it is a little bit different. I probably won't be cutting up raw meat on it just because Well, not that often. I'll butcher a something that's already cooked. I'll carve it up on there, but
wow,
it's heavy. It's very heavy. So to bring it over to the sink and like wash it with soap and water is like, it's a little bit of a headache.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is all super interesting, but
you sound like you're on the edge of your seat over there.
Well, I was just I'm glad we've brought up this topic because
wait before what? You go into the next topic, I have to make the announcement. We have an email. Our listeners can now email us and we will read your email and answer any questions you have. We're back, baby. We're back. The email is, I'll say this again at the end of the podcast, but TPSPOD420. TPSPOD420@gmail.com. Send us an email. Ask us a question. Let us know you're out there.
Lowercase. All lowercase.
All lowercase. I don't think you can do capitals for emails.
You can. You can.
You can? Okay. Yeah,
and it'll screw it up.
All right. Yeah. TPSPOD420@gmail. Let us know you're out there. This is us. This is the we're earthlings.
This
sending
is
out
us.
Our. We know our listeners exist. We just don't know where they are, and we need to hear back. You know what I'm saying? This is the Kepler. This is our James. No, what are we sending? This is a radio signal.
What?
The three body problem. We want to be contacted by aliens, aka our listeners. So please hit us up. TPSPOD420@gmail.com. All right, wow. Go Sam. Sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, no problem. Speaking of butchering, I was going to say, do you think that we should slowly make eating beef illegal?
No.
No. Okay.
I think that we should have way more regulation on the ethical farming. I think we should switch to lab-grown meats if they're proven to be safe and taste the same, basically. That's what we should do. I think that's one of these things where it's like a no-brainer to me, right? Because I like cows. I think cows are cute. I think cows are smarter than people give them credit for. I think factory farming is abhorrent, even though I support it with my purchases. But man's got to eat. But yeah, I think they need to banning eating beef entirely. No, that's the wrong thing.
If there was a nutritional equivalent that we could make in a lab,
yes,
then would you support banning it?
No.
No, even then you wouldn't support banning it?
No.
Okay, what sort of suppose there was a mass producible equivalent nutritional value, maybe not the same taste exactly, but a meaty flavor. And it had like the nutritional value. What sort of regulation? And so like you didn't have to eat beef. Like
No. Nobody
would need it for any reason.
No.
It's purely a luxury.
Yes.
What would make the practice of killing cows acceptable if it's purely a luxury?
Well, I think that's a good question, actually. Well, I don't know if there's actually an I don't know if I can actually.
Like, there's a big stipulation we have a mass producible nutritional equivalent. So that's a big stipulation. Like, what if we had that?
So you're saying, like, we got to a point where it is abhorrent to take a life to eat when you don't have to?
Yeah. Like, I think a lot of the excuse that we would make for eating meat is that the nutritional value and. There's so much of it available at this point.
Mm-hmm. So in this world where we can't eat cows, would we also be, I'm assuming the same laws would apply to hunting wild game and also other meats such as poultry?
Yeah. Well, there's an interesting question. Yeah. Like wild game versus, farming, or I guess, do you call it farming cattle?
Yeah. It's like farming? Factory farming.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Factory farming. Yeah. Yeah. Hunting versus farming. Yeah. There's like some slight differences, but it's similar at the end of the day. You're killing something.
The thing is, the difference is the conditions of the animal's life beforehand. You know, wild game, you can assume, has lived the natural life of a wild animal before it dies. Probably doesn't see death coming at all. Yeah. It is their natural order of things, the prey and the predator, whereas factory farming is there's like thousands of cows jammed together, pumped full of steroids, slaughtered by the millions.
Yeah.
Probably live a life of discomfort and pain and terror for the most part. That is hard to justify when there's better alternatives, you know, lab grown stuff where nothing dies. But also, it's kind of hard to justify killing any animal if there's the equivalent product, taste and nutrition wise, of lab grown alternatives.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think it would be very interesting to see how those industries are going to develop, because so far they are plagued by the fact that their nutritional content isn't good.
And the lab grown ones?
Yeah, like Beyond Meat and stuff. Like it's not healthy. It doesn't.
Can't they just like add that in after the fact? Like dump a bunch of minerals and vitamins in it? Like, I don't get it.
No, I think it's because of what it is, like the oils involved in making it and stuff.
So you're saying we're a ways off from. Can't they grow like whole organs in a lab now?
Well, I'm not really sure exactly how this works, but the vitamins that you get in the pill form are never as good for you as the ones that come from a natural source.
Interesting.
I'm not sure exactly why that is, but like stuff like Athletic Greens and all these things, like they don't, and like vitamins you buy over the counter, they're not as absorbed by your body as the vitamins that you get from like a carrot or something.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. I feel like the difference I feel between eating a salad and eating like a grilled cheese sandwich is so evident. I had a salad yesterday for like the first time all month.
Oh wow.
My body was just dying for a vegetable. And my wife makes the best salad I've ever tasted. It's so good. Honey mustard chicken salad with peppers and all these things. It's great. Probably not the healthiest salad on the planet, but way healthier than what I normally eat. And like, man, I just feel so much better after eating it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Yeah. So like the genuine article is the healthiest thing, right? Like, chicken breast, beef liver, for example, right? Like
healthy animal,
so nutritious. You just can't match it.
A healthy animal is the healthiest nutrition. I have to assume that, right? So factory farmed animals probably not as good for you as, you know, grass fed, free range.
No, definitely.
You know, a happy cow is going to nourish you better than a terrified cow.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's interesting. If we could develop those industries to the point where they have an equivalent nutritional value somehow, then that would erase any sort of justification you could have. It would purely be luxury.
Yes. At that point. But you know, there would be a huge pushback societally about completely banning eating wild or animals in general, right?
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it should be so like people, because people would say like, I want to have a right to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else saying, I want to have a right to eat that.
Yeah. Well, it's also like you're basically interrupting the natural order of evolution. And when you're banning a predator from hunting its prey, basically. So you're kind of telling this, it would be the government telling the people they can't do what they evolved to do.
This sounds like Ted Bundy's argument in court. Like, Your Honor, I am a predator and these women were my prey. You are standing in the way of an ancient order of men killing women.
Yeah, and he's got a great point. This is the way of the wild, baby.
This is the way of the wild.
But it is kind of weird to ban a whole species from doing what they evolved to do. Not that we live like we did back when we were wild and free Homo sapiens. Like a lot of the lifestyle that people live now is not within nature's boundaries whatsoever. It feels like, anyways.
Did we evolve? I don't know if we evolved animal farming. I think that was a technology we developed.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I know it's a myth that humans were always hunter-gatherers or always farmers or whatever. But I maybe that's just a myth.
Well, my point is like to ban us from eating to ban us from eating another animal is like very much like trying to tell a shark not to eat a fish, right? It's like that's what it's made for.
But we're human beings. We have the capacity to reason. We have the capacity to understand.
That's what makes us human.
Responsibility.
We can transcend our animal instincts. That's
why we are morally responsible, but animals are not. So this would be a moral rule that we have the capacity to understand that it is morally wrong for one species to enslave another and execute them for luxury.
The thing is, humans have the ability to use logic and reason. It's a far away cry that people actually do, especially when they have their emotions, especially when the government's telling a large group of people not to do something. You know that despite all the logic and reasoning, just the fact that the government is demanding it is going to have a massive pushback from a significant portion of the population.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, people will push back. And maybe there, if a ban did happen, you could bet that there would be illegal meat operations happening.
And you know those aren't going to be good conditions, eh?
No, I mean, because that happens nowadays with like dogs and stuff in Korea and Japan, probably in China.
Ugh, I could not imagine eating a dog. Like, I just can't.
Yeah, it's so weird. They're usually kidnapped as well.
So like where
pets.
Do they
usually want to eat people's pets?
China is really where they eat the most dogs, right?
All those countries, it happens.
Now, Vietnam, is there a certain breed that they prefer? Is it like, do they do the
pet dogs? Yeah.
Do they do the equivalent of factory farming with dogs over there? Like large scale?
Yes. In Korea, there was one. It's legal, I think, still.
That's disgusting. You can get
like a license to do it. But a lot of it is also just kidnapping people's pets, people like that too.
Oh my God.
So there's a bit of both going on.
I think there is some sort of genetic component to humans bond. Like most humans feel empathy towards dogs, right? Because of our history with them.
Mm.
I imagine that's not just a cultural thing. Right. I thought that would be more of a, like it's ingrained in our genetics to keep dogs around.
Some people are scared of dogs. Some people are allergic to them.
Some people.
I don't think it's universal.
Nothing's universal when it comes to humans, but it's a lot. Like if you pick any random person on the street, what do you think the percent chance is if you ask them how they feel about dogs, it would be positive?
Pretty high.
Probably over 80.
There's definitely cultures where they don't like dogs.
Yeah, well, those cultures suck. I'm saying right now. I think the Egyptians had it right. Get the cats. These cats got to be elevated.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But you got to spay your pets.
Spay and neuter your pets, people, please. Yeah. Oh. So okay, here. I'm just following this line of this future where imagine a future within our lifetime. Where the idea of killing something is so abhorrent, so like taboo, that there's no such thing as factory farming. Factory meat or lab grown meat is what everybody eats. It's just as nutritious, just as tasty. It's perfect. Everything is A1, Wagyu, whatever you want. It's inexpensive. It's just the way it is, right?
That's a possible few. That's in the Expanse.
There you go. So it's already possible.
Population pressure. It's cheaper to use lab grown stuff.
So hunters, this is what you do. You flood the forests with Boston Dynamic robot deer. And that's what hunters hunt. You get robot animals out in the woods. Every year the government puts out a certain amount.
AI.
Yeah, with AI. Animal
and
AI.
They can hunt you back too, probably.
Or you can the government will be like, okay, on this day, all the bears are going to be cranked up to like 10 out of 10 difficulty to hunt. So that's when all like the real big named hunters go out. But for the rest of the year, there's like, you know, average bear intelligent days. There's like easy bear days for new hunters. And then there's like high difficulty hunts of like snow leopards and stuff.
The bear has like a sword or something.
Yeah. The bear has a gun too.
The bear has a gun, yeah.
Like that one video game. I've never played it, but I've seen a bunch of clips of it. It's like it's weird. It's like a sci-fi setting, but also mixed in with like Native American life or culture.
Prey?
Zero Horizon or something?
Oh, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes. I've never played it, but there's like giant robot animals in that. And that's kind of what I'm imagining. Like Boston Dynamics. In this scenario, there's world peace, right? We're not launching those robots at another country. These are purely for sport and entertainment.
Okay. Nice. Until.
Until they sentient realize. AI.
Yeah. Sentient AI, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. I like that idea. That's fun. That's fun. I like that. That's cool. I think people would eventually adapt to that.
I think more people would get into hunting for sure.
Yeah. It's way more humane.
Yes. But here's the thing is no one's going to be satisfied with you shooting an animal and then a green light flashing and be like, you hit it. Good job. No, they want, blood. Quest for meat. Blood. They want that death. They want the death rattle. They want to see this thing limping around, making noise, falling to the ground. Otherwise, it becomes just a really elaborate arcade game.
Uh-huh. Some people will say that hunters are good for conservation. So that's also
right.
I have heard that. I don't know if that's true. But I have
or somehow you lab grow the animal so it has flesh and blood, but the brain is a computer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There we go.
That's what I would like.
Best
then,
of both
Then
words.
You also need like a lot of space. Like how thick is this meat that you're growing? Like you're going to
What do you mean?
Like if you grow lab grown meat, how thick can you grow it? Or do you have to just grow long sheets of it? Like how does it...
Sheet of meat.
Like how's this?
I mean, it can't take up more space than factory farming right now. Like if you're just think about how big of a cow. Like a cow's skeleton is useless. Think about how much of a cow you don't actually doesn't end up in the grocery store.
Man, go to China. They put the whole fucking thing on the.
Let's not try and aspire to be China.
But okay, well here's the thing though. Parts of the cow that we in the West here typically don't eat are actually extremely nutritious and tasty. Such as the cow's stomach. The stomach lining of the cow is one of the healthiest organ meats. And the cows have four stomachs, and each one is a different kind of meat called tripe. And I often order that when I order Chinese food. Get the tripe.
I've tried tripe.
It's good.
I know. I hate the texture. I tried. I used to get pho with tripe in it, and I just couldn't do it.
Oh, man. It's extremely nutritious.
Well, loaded. It's also chewy and gross.
Yeah. Well, you can't eat it often because of how nutritious it is. And it also has a lot of cholesterol.
But, there you go.
But again, if you could make an artificial synthetic fungal or lab grown concoction, I think governments of the world would be obligated to ban the practice of eating meat.
Yeah.
From live prey.
I think we're a long ways away from that, but maybe I think you're going to have a lot more resistance to that in the older generations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the interests of peace, we'll have to take, you know, I don't think draconian measures should be employed immediately, but I do think it would be, and you know, it's tough, right? Because what if a government is elected? What if there's an election and this is an issue, right? In an election.
And well, there's also
the people vote and the people vote for the candidate who's like, I won't ban killing animals to eat them, even though we have this alternative. That's great.
I mean, it's politicians are going to just say what the people want. Doesn't matter.
Should democracy trump?
I can't believe you put those words in one next to each other.
He won more of the vote than Hitler did.
Yeah.
He won more of the vote than Hitler did. Way more.
The thing is he going to be able to deliver on any of his promises? Let's not turn this into
a... Of course not. But anyway, who cares?
Hang on. Oh, where are you going? Go.
I was going with should. So suppose the election was about banning killing animals to eat them. Because we now had a cheap, mass producible, nutrition equivalent, flavor not the same but good option. And the question was, you know, do we start banning this? Do we start a gradual plan to ban killing animals to eat them? And that's what the election, that was the election issue. And the candidate who said, no, I won't ban it, that candidate wins. Maybe this is Canada. Well, it depends on what kind of democracy this happens in, but that's the question. Should the will of the people in that case, even though it's immoral, clearly immoral, and should that trump the, should the will of the people trump the morality of that?
I mean, it does in a lot of cases, but it's what do you mean should?
Is the will of the people more important than
what is objectively ethical?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
Is democracy more important? Is respecting a democratic vote more important than that? Or should it still be overturned? Would you still be justified if you were like a animal rights terrorist?
That's a good question. I'm trying
to figure out how to ask this question.
It's like when the masses all agree on to do something immoral, but they all voted to do that. It's like, is that right or wrong? I mean, from a outside view, it's just a bunch of people doing something bad.
Yeah.
But they all agreed to do it, so that's what they're doing, right?
So what do you do then as a citizen of that country that voted to uphold mass killing of animals, despite not needing to, just purely for luxury, for the taste?
Well, you tend to the garden that you can reach, right? The part of the thing you can't do, you can't stop everyone. So you just do, you have to live an ethical, what you view as an ethical life in your own life, because that's all you really have control over. So, you know, if you're asking at what point do you step up and try and stop this from happening, even though you could probably only stop like a very, very tiny, 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 tiny portion of it. I don't know. That's up to you. That's the individual choice. What would you be risking to do that?
Do you shoot the McDonald's CEO in the back in New York?
McDonald's CEO? Oh, because of the, no.
The CEO of the biggest mass murder in human history.
Well, the thing about this United Health thing is that is a direct result of someone, like people's loved ones are dying because this insurance company is denying them shit they should be not denying. That to me is more justified than if there was a horrific factory farming. And I still think there would be some form of justice for that, but I don't think it would be, I don't know. I wouldn't.
Factory farming is pretty brutal. Even worse than the U.S. healthcare system.
Here's the thing. I can put myself in the shoes of this Luigi guy, right? I can put myself in his shoes. If that happened to me, I can imagine becoming murderous. If say someone I loved was denied care that they needed desperately because of some bullshit reason, that I can like see, like, oh, I would become murderous if that happened. But I don't think I could ever be driven personally. I don't think I could ever be driven to take violent action based on poor factory farming practices, as horrific as it is.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think I purposely don't watch the videos of the factory farms, like that people take, you know, the videos I'm talking about.
I mean, they don't come up in my algorithm or anything. I don't seek them out. I know what videos you're talking about.
They're purposefully suppressed by the, you know, companies with a stake in this kind of thing. Right. But I purposefully don't watch those videos because of how freaking horrific they are. But when I lived in Toronto, I lived near the railroad tracks and I would see the stock cars going by. And that's kind of sobering.
Really?
Yeah.
Full of cows?
Pigs. Yeah.
Jammed in there.
Yeah.
It sucks because I know cows and pigs are like, if you hung out with one on one with one for like a day, you would be like, I feel like you'd make a friend.
Yeah. But yeah, just seeing that every day, the cars go by, more going into the chopper, like this endless stream. They just get on these trains.
I bet you in like a couple hundred years, they're going to look back at that as basically the equivalent of murder.
Yeah, I think so too. But we have no choice. I mean, we have a choice, but like it's hard to be a vegetarian.
Yes.
Health-wise.
I think the lab-grown meats thing is going to be something that people will get on board with. Not the, you know, not, I feel like people over 50 alive right now would not get on board, but I think the new generations would get on board.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to see, but who will get behind that push? Will that ever be a big political issue that'll gain traction?
There's so many bigger issues that would need to be settled first before we turn our focus to that.
Yeah.
Let's go. This is a good segue.
Okay.
I just announce a segue. I'm not like you. I can't just slip them in. Why don't we do some predictions?
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's forget about the predictions that we made last year. They don't count. Let's start fresh. Let's make some new predictions.
Wait. Do you have the list of questions that handy? Probably not.
I think I do. Well, I think I do, actually.
Really?
I think I have some of them. Give me 20 seconds.
Okay.
Give me 20 seconds.
In the meantime, I'd like to say that I actually did watch this movie, Sam Light, called Smile 2. It is the sequel to the other horror, Smile. I will say it was quite good. Sam was right. It was well made. It was a psychological horror. And it really kicked off at the end. I was just telling the listeners that I watched Smile 2 the other night.
Oh, it's great. Great movie.
It's great. Yeah. The end really, I never felt horrified. Oh, there's horrifying shit that happened, but I never felt a sense of horror into my own being until the end.
Mm. Okay. Oh, man. Okay. So I've thought so much more about horror movies since we did it, since we discussed them on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we were discussing how, there seems to be a prevalent theme in modern horror movies about people not being able to distinguish appearance from reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking more and more about that. And I think that that is because we're getting so good at creating virtual reality.
And is it also some sort of sub, like, what would you call it? The fact that AI is getting so good at imitating reality that the ability to tell what's real and what's fake on the internet is getting way, way harder. And that's
exactly. Yeah.
So a lot of people have been experiencing that sense of being fooled completely.
Yeah. It's deep, deep fake.
Mm-hmm. So Smile 2,
I think it's a response to that. Spoiler. And drugs, like people being mental illness, drugs, like that, all of that conflating together very sharply.
Spoilers alert for Smile 2, but there's a point in the movie where you realize as the watcher that you have no idea what parts of the movie were real and what parts were hallucinations. Yeah. That is a horrifying moment for the watcher of the film.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to think since I've seen it, at what point was reality stripped away from the main character? Like, what did we watch that was real and what did we watch that was fake? And you just don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, when it wasn't, because there is an inciting action that is very like profound, and you know that's when shit started getting weird, but you don't know at what point through the movie what the main character is experiencing is real or not. And there's a point at the end of the movie where you as the watcher and the character both realize that at the same time, where you don't know at when things became hallucinations and when and what has been real over the last, how many days it is in the movie, 4 days or something. Quite horrifying. Well done. I would highly recommend it. I have to rewatch the first one because I feel like the tone was a lot different in the first one.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Okay. So anyway, predictions.
So you had the questions?
No, I couldn't find them.
Ah.
Yeah. Anyway, predictions. Write them down. Okay. What's your prediction?
Well, what are the questions?
Oh, I don't know. You brought this up. You're the one who wanted to do predictions.
Sorry. But, I just asked that question twice. So predictions 2025. Let's start with entertainment, maybe.
All right.
What are we going to expect movie-wise? What are we going to expect in music industry-wise? Comedy-wise, maybe. Let's do those three. Films. What do you think the trends will be? Are we going to start getting less and less superhero movies? Is Star Wars done? Are we going to get out of making a series out of every possible side character and every IP that Disney owns?
I think no. I think we get more.
You think we're going to get more?
Yeah.
All those movies are losing so much money.
Oh, are they really? Yeah, I guess they are. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they won't. I don't know.
I've
not been paying attention. Okay, I'll say we'll get less Star Wars, but they'll put more. You know, they'll have fewer, but more. They'll invest more in the few that they do make.
Okay.
Well, so they'll devote the same amount of resources to it, but they'll just try to make fewer projects.
I think they have had a lot of flops when it comes to the Star Wars IP. It's basically been completely stripped down to it's a husk. Like, what other stories? I mean, there's always going to be stories they can tell, but same with Lord of the Rings has gotten completely butchered. Rings of Power 2 was a disaster. Although I do know a lot of people that liked it, but I'm just, you know, it's got a lot of crazy visuals, and that sometimes is good enough. When you look at it with any sort of scrutiny, it is completely dog shit. Right. Star Wars, I think there's only one good Star Wars series.
That's what I've heard. I've heard Andor is good.
The Acolyte.
Well, what about The Mandalorian? That was huge.
Mandalorian was good for the first couple seasons, and then it fell off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I will say that I made a prediction at the beginning of 2024 that the only superhero movies that aren't going to flop are going to be the R-rated ones, and that seems to have been proven true.
No, Kraven flopped.
Fuck. Ah, you're right. Kraven did flop, but Deadpool versus Wolverine was a success.
Yeah, Deadpool versus Wolverine was a success. But almost everybody predicted. Well, actually, no, that's not true. Not almost everybody. But
I don't think. What other superhero movies came out that? I guess Venom. Venom's R-rated, isn't it?
No.
No?
Well, I don't know. Maybe in
all
the States,
three of those movies were like very. I haven't seen the last one, actually, I should say, but very, very mediocre.
Terrible. Garbage movies.
Terrible for a Tom Hardy film to be so shit.
Not even so bad they're good. They're just like straight up bad.
I will watch this third one because I need to complete the trilogy just to know. But yeah, that was pretty bad. I think there's going to be hopefully a push for more original scripts. I hope studios. I think this year was a pretty good year for original scripts making money.
Yeah, maybe.
So I'm hoping that studios start taking more risks on interesting ideas and just stop relying on recognizable characters and IPs to make money, because they don't make money anymore. So there you go.
I don't know. Let's look at Box Office Mojo.
Okay.
2024 worldwide box office. Sequels don't make money. All right, Jordan, sequels don't make money. Okay. That's what you think. Right.
I didn't say number sequels one. Don't make money. Did I say that?
Well, you said more original scripts, less IPs.
Well, yeah, exactly.
They don't make money.
But my point is right now is that there haven't been any Marvel movies besides Deadpool and Wolverine that have made good money. And I don't think there's been anything in the Star Wars universe that has been a success financially.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair as well, when all of the big budget, highly marketed films are all IPs, those are the only movies that you can go see anyway, really. So
yeah,
they're naturally going to be conflated or inflated. But anyway, here we go. Number one, Inside Out 2, 1.6 billion. Deadpool,
that was a
Wolverine,
good one.
1.3 billion. Despicable Me 4, 969 million. Moana 2, 896 million. Oh. Dune Part 2, 714 million.
That deserved
Wicked,
it.
Which just came out, 640 million.
That one was a cultural phenomena.
Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, 570 mil. Number eight, Kung Fu Panda 4, Number 9, Venom, The Last Dance. Number 10, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice. So it's every single movie in there is an IP or a sequel.
Ah, that hurts. That hurts.
And it just actually, honestly, going all the way down to number 17.
How far down do you have to go? Besides...
Oh, no, sorry. 14. You have to go all the way to 14. And then 14 is Twisters. And then the one after that is called It Ends With Us. But hold on. Is it ends with us based on a show?
No, it's based on a book, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so that's an IP as well. Okay. So never mind, that's still an IP.
God damn it. But how many of those are big? How many are big Marvel movies besides Deadpool and Wolverine? Because those used to be the top movies back in the day.
Three out of the top five are kids' movies. Moana, Despicable Me, and Inside Out.
Despicable Me, really? I never got into that. Inside Out 2 is pretty good. First one was better.
And then 5 through 10, you've got Dune Part 2. You have one superhero movie in the top 10. Oh, no, two superhero movies in the top 10. Deadpool and Wolverine and Venom the Last Dance.
I heard Venom the Last Dance was brutal, so I got to watch it.
It's garbage, yeah. But, okay, so that's only two. And then you don't have another superhero movie. Until Madam Web at 36.
Yeah, there you go. It used to be all superhero movies at the top, I feel like.
Yeah, they're dead. They're gone.
They're dying. That's what I'm saying. And then can you do the same thing for TV series?
Like watched?
Like, can you figure out which ones made were the most successful by some metric?
I don't know. Okay, most watched TV series. 2024. Okay, number one, Squid Game.
That was 2024? The second season? Actually, hold on,
that's IMDb. I don't know. Well, everything's on a different streaming service, so there's no way to know.
Right, yeah, and I don't think Netflix even releases their numbers. Anyways, the point is that I think...
Yeah, Netflix doesn't release their data. Yeah, it's impossible to know.
Superhero blockbusters are gone. That's what I think. I think that era is finally over. That was a long era.
Christ.
Yes. Batman 2 might be the next big one. I can't imagine what's going to be the next one after that.
They're spacing them out more. Well, they are rebooting Superman again. They're rebooting Superman.
Some people say this is the movie to decide if the DC universe gets completely... eradicated as far
as everyone do your part and do not go see this. Everyone do your part. Yes, kill this genre once and for all.
Save any of the we need to move on, right?
Kill Superman. Kill this piece of shit.
This is like worse than the zombie phase, the zombie era.
The zombie era.
I remember it was like, okay, it was vampires for a while, and it was zombies, and then Westerns. The superhero one just went way off. So I'm hoping we get some more. You know what I watched this year, both seasons, was Arcane.
Nice.
That was based on an IP, but it was really one of the most unique.
It's barely based on an IP.
Yeah. I'd never played the game. I didn't know anything about the characters or the world, and I was absolutely mind blown by both seasons. Season two.
You would never imagine that show from playing the game, League of Legends.
No, I don't think so. I can't imagine how they even thought of some of these sequences. Some of the scenes in that show were like, I couldn't believe what I was watching sometimes. It was so interesting and original in so many ways. I hope we get more of that. Not more of Arcane. I think they finished. The story's wrapped up nicely. I don't think they're going to do any more, but more. I think hopefully studios the success of Arcane, I hope, inspires other studios to do more like out of the box stuff like that. Cause that was super impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep it tight. Two seasons. Done.
Don't bleed out.
Done.
Don't drown it.
Don't crowd it.
So hopefully superheroes are gone. We can fill that gap with, I don't know. I think there's going to be another push of like sword and sandal fantasy coming out, because there's a movie coming out called Best Served Cold, which is part of a fantasy series.
That's a Klingon saying. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Best Served Cold is a
Klingon
book
proverb.
Part of the... Joe Abercrombie fantasy world.
Joe Abercrombie.
It's like a grimdark fantasy. I read the first Law trilogy, which was his first three books he wrote, and it's very character driven, dark, grimdark fantasy, very morbid, very violent, really dark themes, interesting characters, I think. And that's being made into a movie. And then I just found out that one of the Brandon Sanderson books is being turned into a movie. So I think we're going to go back into in 2025, fantasy is going to start making a comeback as far as big blockbuster movies.
Ugh, I have bad, I don't know if they're going to work.
What do you mean?
I'm skeptical.
Of what?
I have a feeling those movies are going to flop.
Really?
I don't know why. I have a feeling.
Sam's got a feeling.
I have a very serious feeling that they think that you can just make a fantasy adaptation and it makes money. And I think they are in for a rude awakening.
Well, I will say this. Best Served Cold, Joe Abercrombie, very, very popular in the fantasy reader world. So
Joe Abercrombie.
And he has a fan base. It's a very well-known fantasy series. Is that going to be enough for it to not be a flop? I don't know. I don't know if there's enough crossover. I don't know if it's...
Here are the successful fantasy adaptations. Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones.
That's three.
There's three, and they are worldwide global phenomenons, each of them.
Do they have to be a worldwide global phenomenon to be successful?
Am I being too cruel? Is there another one I'm forgetting here? Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe bombed. That's bombed. What else?
Did it bomb?
I don't think it made much money.
Really?
Hold on. Narnia box office total. Yeah, those movies didn't make much money.
Well, that is unsettling. I'm hoping, maybe this is just my hope, we get back into... I'm hoping the Dune movies are going to bring back some more grand scale sci-fi to the big screen. Large scale. And I'm hoping that dark and gritty fantasy movies start getting made, because like you can get stuff like Narnia or Lord of the Rings.
Okay, these how about low budget? I'm talking indie fantasy.
Indie fantasy, dark, R-rated fantasy. That's what I want. That's what this Best Served Cold movie is. Interesting.
There's indie horror, but no one has the budget to do an indie fantasy.
A character focused fantasy could be very good. Also, there's this rise in popularity of Warhammer. There's a lot of hype for this Warhammer TV.
Yeah, Henry Cavill's doing that. Yeah.
So that's kind of a blend of sci-fi and fantasy. And I don't know. I think the genre of grimdark is going to become more and more popular over 2025.
Grimdark.
Mm-hmm.
What are the tropes of the grimdark genre?
Grimdark, always a bleak future. Very, very violent, very morbid. Usually the characters are kind of they're hopeless in a lot of ways. Grim is basically a great way to describe it. It's just dark, violent, and hopeless. See, this first Law trilogy I read, it was a lot of humor in it, but very dark themes and a lot of no one really gets ending.
What makes things so hopeless in these worlds?
Well,
where's the oppression? Well, like what's so bad about it? What's wrong?
Usually they're in a society that celebrates some sort of war or violence or whatever. It's like you think of like Lord of the Rings and Narnia as like light fantasy, basically. Like, sure, there's violence in Lord of the Rings, but not like on the level of these books. Like, that was the first thing I noticed.
But you started in Hobbiton. You started in Hobbiton.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
There's violence.
There's no Hobbiton in Grimdark.
Why don't I look up what the actual definition of Grimdark is? Because that's a good question. I know that the phrase was coined by the Warhammer series. Grimdark is a subgenre of speculative fiction that is characterized by violent, dystopian, amoral tone, style, or setting. Often combines fantasy or horror elements. It features dark, broken characters and worlds. The term grimdark is inspired by the tagline of the tabletop strategy game Warhammer 40,000, which is, in the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war.
Wow.
That's so I think dark fantasy is going to come in hot 2025.
That's a good theme going into the new year. In the future, well, there's only war.
We might be living in grim dark by the end of 2025. So hopefully not. But yeah, that's what it is. So that's my prediction for movies. I don't know if we're going to get to music. Music to me is like, I'm so out of the loop. I don't even know what's popular. So I feel stupid commenting on it. Uh-huh. And then comedy. What do you think the trends in comedy are for 2025?
Fuck if I know. Jesus.
Are we saturated? Are we having, are we going to see much like we're seeing the fall of the superhero blockbusters? Are we going to start seeing the fall of the popularity of stand-up just because it's so saturated?
Well, I have never been a huge stand-up fan myself. I don't really watch a lot of stand-up.
That's
shows that I go to.
You might think that's weird, but it's actually not as weird as it sounds to any of our listeners. Yeah. Lots of stand-up comedians do not watch stand-up.
Yeah. I don't really watch a ton of stand-up, so I don't really know like what the trends are, so to speak.
Right. I hope that the clip economy of just short, mostly crowd work clips to get.
Okay. Yeah. If we're talking in terms of the stand-up economy of, you know, posting stuff on social media, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are people getting burnt out on it? Are those going to stop being a big deal? Man. Are people going to stop going viral over these things?
Yeah. Well, I listened to a fantastic audiobook called Techno-Feudalism. Uh-huh. And this book pointed out that those apps, right, like Instagram, like most of the comics who post on there are not making a profit off of posting on there. Like
no.
Money, like money.
No.
They're not making a profit at all. But they are serving as the content of the app.
Yes.
And they are the reason people turn their attention to the app.
Mm-hmm.
And so most comics who are trying to make it are quite literally serving a giant tech corporation for free. They are a product. They have made themselves into such a product and they don't get any money for it.
The promise
they are being exploited.
But the promise is exposure, that you're trading your content there. You're putting your stuff out on there for free in hopes that you get exposure that will change your real life career, right? That's the deal with the devil you're making.
Yeah, but no, everyone knows that that is like winning the lottery in terms of statistics.
Yeah. There's a lot of garbage that goes viral, which is hard to see sometimes. But also, I don't think going goes
viral, you don't make a lot of money off of it necessarily.
But yes, but you can. That's how you get booked in real life, is if you have a lot of followers, sadly.
Oh, followers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Followers and one clip going viral are very different.
Yes, but one clip going viral can be enough to get you in the door with real promoters and clubs and stuff.
Damn.
Which I don't think I don't think the going viral dollar goes as far as it used to. I don't think that you going viral with one thing is going to launch. I mean, the Hawk Tua girl is like probably going to be one of the very last people becoming incredibly famous over because they became a meme. Like, when's the last time that happened before her? It used to happen all the time when the internet was first coming up, like when YouTube and Instagram and Facebook were first coming. People would get famous from a photograph.
A photograph.
A photograph.
Photograph. Oh yeah, all the memes they're locked in. The founding memes have already been established.
Yes.
And you've got the lexicon now. We don't need new meme people.
But when's the last time we had someone before Hawk Tua? When's the last time someone went that viral?
I don't know. I don't pay attention so much to the meme people world.
Oh.
Who before her? I don't know. Jake Paul, Logan Paul?
They were like content creators, though. They were not a random person doing something, gets caught on camera, gets posted, and goes viral. That used to happen a lot more. Like I can think I back know. In the day, like the Star Wars kid. Remember the guy with the pole in the closet? Remember that guy?
No.
You would recognize the video. It was so famous. It's the guy. It's kind of a chubby guy. He's in his somewhere in his closet at school, and he's spinning a stick around like Darth Maul, and it went viral.
Okay.
You would recognize it. There was a golden age of people going viral because they did silly shit on the internet. Anyways, we're at an hour. My son's screaming in the background. I got to get out of here. I got to go do a show. I got a lot to do before the end of the year. Anything you want to say? Sign up. What's your last words of 2024?
Well, it's not. This is going to come out in 2025. And I'll probably say something more before midnight. So these aren't my last words.
Thank you. I mean, to our listeners, some of them, we have some, I'm sure.
Oh, all right. Send us an email with topics you want us to talk about, questions.
Yes, or comment on what we've talked about. Tell us we're idiots.
No, don't do that. Don't tell us that.
Yes, do it. Tell us we're idiots.
Just tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what we want to hear.
No.
Yeah, make us feel good about ourselves.
Make us angry.
Stroke our egos.
TPSpod420@gmail.com. Send us in. Send us hate mail, love mail, whatever you want. We just want to know you're out there. And that will be it for 2024. We will see you guys in 2025. Hopefully we'll be hosting a little bit more regularly. I'm structured. That's what I'm going for in 2025, is structure and discipline.
Structure and discipline. Well, let those be the guiding words of your life.
Thank you, sire. Yes. That's our podcast. Right. We will talk to you another time.
All right. Goodbye.
Happy New Year.
Until another time.